We knew that it was a dangerous reporting to do, but we decided that the risks was to be taken because of the value of the news. So I flew on the 4th in Turkey, crossed the border on the 6th, and I was kidnapped like 20 minutes after I crossed the borders on the way to Aleppo, yes.
Were you in a car? Were you in a cafe? Where were you when you were taken?
I was in a car. I was with Edouard, the photographer. We were together in the car, and a car was following us. Another one was waiting for us. They organized an ambush in front of us. Five guys came out with AKs, and they asked for us. They knew exactly who we were because we crossed the border, and on the Syrian side of the border, they had people who tell them, all the foreigners coming across, and that's how it happened.
What was an average day like in your 10 months?
Boring. The average day is very boring. The rhythm is given by the prayers, which help you to keep counting the days.
Did you learn an approach which helped save you?
But I don't know. Everybody has. We were 19 in the same room at the end of the day. And I think every one of us had his own strategy.
Can you tell me what yours was?
I was in front of predators. There's two ways of doing. Either you confront them, and then you will provoke a confrontation in which you are not really going to win because they have the one with the weapons. And you can also behave like a prey, but then you will also provoke pressure because then they will not respect you at all. So basically, my strategy was to try to be in between. A bit like a drop of water. You fall in the little space you have when it's getting cold, and you take a bit more space, and if it's getting warm, then you withdraw a little bit, and then little by little you manage to get a little bit more food, little bit more turns to the toilets.
How are you doing that? How are you forcing yourself to be not prey?
You try to stay dignify, you take the beating, and like for instance, I just to give you an example, they would like to try to humiliate you because they want you under their thumb. So basically, it's small things, they will call you, khanzir, like if you're a pig because you're not Muslim. So I wanted to wash my hands. The guy said, you have no time to wash your hands. I say, okay, I'm going to wash my hand, whatever. This guy say, I'm going to beat you up. I say, beat me up, but I'm going to wash my hand. So the guy beats you up once, twice, but the third times. He realized that, you're not a randzir, you're not a pig, because you prefer getting beaten but having your hand washed than not. That's the way you do it.
To me, Didier, that seems very brave.
Well, it's not something you actually calculate that much. It's just something you do. There was debates also within the group all the time sometimes, should you knock on the door if you got problems with your stomach because you want to go to the toilets? Some people who say don't do that because the guards are going to be... But it's your choice. It leads to tensions, but that's what they want. They always want to make tensions.
Do you witness every day a mock execution or every week? And did you have to suffer it yourself?
No, I did that to suffer them, but it was not every day. It's not like it was every day we were beaten up, tortured, and ad hoc execution will be totally cuckoo at the end of the day. None of us would have been through. There's no reason to make it bigger than it was. It was hard enough. Got my teeth broken, my finger broken, so it happened. But it's not every day. If they wanted to break us, they would have done it. They did it to the Syrians who were behind the door. We could hear the scream of the guys when they were tortured during the night for days and days and nights and nights. And we saw the bodies lying in the corridor when we go to the toilets with the blood in the corridor. So we knew what they were able to, what they could do. There was no question about it. But at the same time, we had a value on... And they were looking on their investment. So,
one of the things the media has done, it seems, is assist getting the message of brutality out. The videos, initially, stills from the videos were shown. Could you ever watch those videos? Could you ever see those stills?
Yes, I do see. First, it's my job. And I'm not an ethical commission to judge the way the other journalists are working. I'm just telling you the way I am working. If I got a video from those guys and I had to comment it, I saw friends of mine, which I've been spending 10 months in the hall, being beheaded And I had to comment it on the news because that was my job. I did it the way I you always do it. I explain what I see on the video and why this video has been shown. And I explain to the people what is the aim of that organization, what do they expect to get. What we have to do is to give the people who are listening to us the keys to be able to make their own decisions. They are clever enough to do it if you give them the good information. That's what we are doing.
Perhaps for that reason you went back to Iraq within 6 months of your release. Did you feel hesitant?
No, I was not, because again, I've been doing that job in war situation for 31 years. I was wounded in Gaza already. I got a bullet in the leg in 2006. I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I make mistakes. The proof of the pudding is that you can eat it. And I made a mistake because I was caught. So I made mistakes. I make miscalculations. But yes, that's my job. Why should I change it?
I suppose because you've been to a place where many people are not always escaping from, we wonder whether or not countries should pay ransoms for hostages. Do you have a view on that?
Yes, I do, actually. We always are looking at the foam of the wave. Ransom is not the main question in negotiation. If Baghdadi decides he wants to negotiate, it's not because of 1 or 2 million or whatever it is, because he has it from other revenues, from petrol, for whatever it is. Okay, so at the time, his decision is a political decision. Again, he wanted to show he was a state. Look, in all the propaganda, the main difference between ISIS and Al-Qaeda is how much they explain and they make it vocal, they have a state. And that's what they want to show to their own people. Look, we are negotiating with states, so in a way, we are a state. What I know is my government is going to do everything it can to take me out.
Did you feel there was a strain between different wings of IS?
Of course there is a strain. If you take those tribal leaders who joined ISIS on the fact that they wanted to fight the Shia, they are usually traditional in their culture. They are very strong beliefs in religion in a very conservative way. And when all of a sudden they got some young thugs coming from all places and who are behaving there the exact same way they are behaving here, with more weapons, which makes it even worse. And of course, there is problems with the local tribes who say, but why those guys are now running checkpoints and making trouble for my sons or my sisters or my kids, and why is these guys, wanted to take my four-wheel drive, or why will he tell me how to pray? There are tensions.
Didier, do you think you've recovered from what happened to you?
Yes, I did actually. Of course, it is a harder ship on your body, but it comes quite fast actually. If you train a little bit, if you eat and drink a lot, which I'm doing,
and in your head and in your heart, did you recover?
I was not destroyed. I knew the risk I was taking. I was lucky to get through. Others didn't. I remember David and James and Stephen and Peter. John is still there and he's still suffering. I was lucky. So there's, there's
John,
no reason.
John was taken twice. You're talking about John Cantley,
yes,
I think.
Of course. Yeah.
And John came on our program after his first kidnap and got away.
Well, we discussed it a lot.
The day you woke up, you were, after 10 months and more, you were in a strange hotel room, I imagine. The first day of freedom.
Yeah, it's great. Everything's great. I mean, look, people say, is it difficult to get back to freedom? I say, no, it's not. What is difficult is to get back, it's to get into detention. But freedom is, it's like bicycle. You don't forget, you know. We are kept underground for months. I mean, and so during one trip between two places, one of the guards, with whom I had a kind of discussion relationship, was from Belgium, wanted to give me a present. And that present, I was on the back of a truck with my handcuff and a blindfold. And the present was, look up, and he took up the blindfold for 1 minute so I could see the sky. And I can tell you, I really enjoy it thoroughly. It was just 1 minute looking at the stars, and that was great. So when you come out and you know that you can look at the stars as much as you want, with nobody's going to tell you when you stop or you whatever, that's great. And I'm sure that John, in the last propaganda video he was forced to do, had a few minutes on a bike And I'm sure he enjoyed it so really because he paid the hard price to get them.